Michelle Live Podcast.
My Michelle Live. My Michelle Live. Sports Time Out. The fans, the field, the faith, the fun. Here's Michelle. Get ready to get
Hey, Reverend, you could have just said amen.
Your audio just got really buzzy. Yeah. There you go.
Stop. The Gremlins from Beetlejuice decided to invade the show.
we're using a new format today. Michelle, do you need to record or are we already? Are we good? Good. Okay.
Yeah. Wookiee of the Year, Josh McMillan.
Oh boy,
he's got a lot to say.
Encyclopedia Rich.
The Encyclopedia.
Author, photographer, Brent R. Baker.
So that is the thing to realize. Preseason, it's especially the way things are going right now, where no starters are playing. And people say, well, it doesn't look good for the depth of the team. It's like, honestly, you're never going to have the entire B squad out on the field at one time. You know, you're going to have a couple people starting there. So you really have to look at how can I look at this and what can I take from this? Well, a couple things we take away. One, I like their defensive line depth. Alton Robinson and Rasheem Green looked really good and really explosive. I like their linebacker depth. Cody Barton and Ben Kirk, two guys I've liked since their college days. They look really good. They look explosive. They're all over the field. Cornerback, I have questions. Even safety looks fine. Like Ryan Neal, he did really well in a couple spot starts last year. He got an interception in the preseason game. I am a little concerned about cornerback. And I really would have liked to see our starters out there on the field for that. With Akilah Witherspoon and DJ Reed, because DJ Reed started for us last year. Akilah Witherspoon, this is his first year here with us, And we don't have these guys past this year either.
These are one-year deals. I want to see as much as I can of what we have from these guys because right now I am not comfortable with what we have. Trey Flowers, the starter out there, didn't look good. He's a guy that has all the physical talent to do the job, but he just is too cautious in his head, lets everything happen underneath him.
He's not willing to be aggressive. Doesn't have ball hawk skills. I'm really concerned about the back end of this defense.
So I'm hoping it goes well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me.
But the other thing to take away is I can also feel good about the running backs. And again, the rest of the line, you're seeing a couple of depth pieces, like your fourth stringer at left tackle there, Stone Forsythe, who looked like a rookie, who looked like he was overmatched there.
And you kind of expect him to do. He's kind of a raw talent you kind of think of flyer on late draft, right?
Like your offensive line, don't worry about your quarterback play. Personally, I don't know why we still have Geno Smith as the backup here, why he's the guy. I'm still waiting for the call there, Josh. I'm not hoping.
I'm fine with Magoo being on that backup. I'm okay on Geno. I'm good on moving on from that piece. We're fine there.
But I really, you know, I gotta say, I feel like the preseason, the way it's going, people not wanting to play their starters at all, this is not good for the NFL.
And we've talked about how players should get used to playing just a couple things here and there, and I get, like, don't want people to get hurt.
But the product out on the field in these preseason games, it was bad. It was hard to watch.
The thing that gets me about this, and it's been a problem forever, is the NFL charges their season ticket holders full value for those tickets of preseason games. It's never been the equivalent of the regular season product, but now it's even worse, where you don't even see the starters on the field at all. I think with the Seahawks, we didn't even see really the offense that Shane Waldron's installing. That we'll see eventually when we see Russell out there, it would be nice to see them for a drive or two, to see them in a real game situation against other teams rather than practice.
Well, the Browns made a huge improvement over last season. You know, Baker Mayfield decided to actually finally play quarterback in the NFL. And their roster actually made a huge leap forward. So that didn't surprise me at all. And it's kind of a unique situation in Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence because Urban Meyer is trying to make his mark. That's why you saw Trevor Lawrence on the field. You want to install that whole winning formula. And Urban Meyer's got to tear that whole organization down and build it back up from the ground up. I guarantee you, if Pete Carroll was in a similar situation and had the number one pick in the overall NFL draft, you would see that overall number one pick on the field.
Seahawks and a lot of other teams are not in that same situation.
So it's not a good comparison.
Well, I think Pete wants them on the field either way.
Yeah, that was a tough game, especially with how well Chris Flexen did, and the offense putting points on the board early for the bullpen has been nails. to give up five in the ninth, to bring it back to a tie, go extra innings. Tie France, Viva LaFrance, coming in with a big double play. He's been really, really good at first base. And then the homer in the 11th, that was great. And I got to say, I know NFL time starting, but what a time for Seattle right now. When NFL starting up, but we're still excited about the Mariners. You know?
How many years has it been like,
We're three and a half games out. We're three and a half games out of the wild card spot. Five and a half behind, just winning our division. And we have games coming up against both of our big division opponents in the Astros and the A's.
So they're both vulnerable right now, too. The Astros have not been playing well the last week or so.
Yeah, I think they broke that yesterday, but they lost four or five in a row leading up to that. And then the A's, I mean, hate to see it, but they just lost their ace, Chris Bassett.
But it's something you take advantage of if he's not there. So...
Yeah, absolutely. This is tune in this next week. It's going to be really exciting because we have a legit chance to not only just squeeze in for a wild card spot, but actually win the division if we play well over these next week of games is really going to determine our future if we can win the division or not. It's not the make or break for getting the wild card, but you have to at least win a couple of these. But if we do really well and win out over the majority of the games we take, three or four out of five,
watch out. Here come the Mariners boys.
Allegedly.
What do you mean allegedly, Rich? No, we're going to take a journalistic neutral point of view. Did you not hear? Oh, yes, I did. Oh, my goodness.
And Oh, definitely, his behavior was not okay, and the suspension by Bally Sports, I believe, was the appropriate thing to do. But we also need to realize that in the middle of the broadcast, Jack Morris did attempt to apologize and Shohei Ohtani said that he had heard the tape and also heard that accent and that he was not offended. So my question to you, no.
You have to let me finish my thought.
If you're going to let me finish my thought here,
because we also have inappropriate comments by Stephen A. Smith towards Shohei Ohtani. And basically almost nothing was done to Stephen A. Smith.
So we have to look at all these different situations.
We have to treat them all equally.
So if we are going to suspend Jack Morris and possibly fire him,
which I think is still on the table, possibly,
because we have not seen the end of this.
Jack Morris made a stupid mistake
and did a terrible thing.
But we are not looking at all these instances and doling out the correct punishment equally to each one.
Because I would have to disagree.
Well, Rich utilized the word allegedly with regard to racist, and so I understand that. And I appreciate Ohtani coming on and saying that it really didn't offend him, and if there's anybody who is more sick and tired of cancel culture, it is me. I cannot stand and I hate that, but even his apology was more of, I'm sorry if I offended, or if someone took offense, I can't remember exactly how he said it, but that's not an apology.
Okay, that's a good point.
That's a good point, Gary.
So let me ask you this question.
Then what should he have said?
He should have just owned it and said, you know what, that was really inappropriate to speak that way.
Okay. Right.
I don't think he needs to go. To me, that's a little bit of overkill.
I would say I blew it. Let me know if I should keep my job.
Well, that's what I would have said.
Well, the thing is that people will come out with those types of overkill statements and it loses its disingenuous to me because it's kind of like, I know what, and just a sincere, you know what, that was not okay and I'm so sorry. To me, that's fine, that's enough.
I totally agree with you, Gary.
But see, we're reasonable-minded people on this show.
But here's another question for you guys, and I really want to get at this one. What if he would have said what you just say he should have said, Gary?
There would be people that would still want his scalp.
Those same people are going to call for his head on a bat no matter what.
But that's what I'm saying is that we are living in what I call, and you tell me if I'm right, Gary.
what I call overdrive culture.
I call it cancel culture hell.
but the whole thing is on overdrive. Because Devin Funches, what Devin Funches did at Green Bay, packed a training camp in front of a bunch of reporters was the same stupid thing. And those reporters did nothing.
And these same guys who were jumping on Jack Morris are the same guys that stood there from the same profession and did nothing. But let me just go back to the whole alleged racist thing, okay? So whether or not it was intended to be racist, it was still racially inappropriate.
Oh, most definitely.
And so that's what I just want to make sure that people don't miss.
Off charts.
What? Whoa.
Well, you know what? There's actual video of this.
No, he got him a good right cross. It's video that could have made the Ultimate Fighter TV show. Let's put it that way. Antonio Brown.
You know, it's getting real when the guy's smart enough to rip the guy's helmet off first before hitting him. Rather than punching the helmet.
Yeah, that's why I said before the show the WWE has officially invaded the NFL.
Unfortunately.
And this is why you don't have these team practices. This is what coaches are ultimately afraid of with preseason games. Coaches think about the preseason games and these practices this way. How many things can go wrong before I'll actually lose my job? And how many guys can I actually kill on the field before the general manager will summon me into his office and say, I'm sorry, but we need to find somebody else.
We have abandoned self-control. We have abandoned the self-control and the responsibility for self-control.
Well, Eric, I think there's more going on that's deeper. There's multiple issues here at play, in my opinion. One of them is the fact that it's COVID fatigue. Okay, people are just pent up. They're sick and tired of having to behave and put your mask on, and all these people are just overly wound too tightly. Okay, so that's one thing that's going on. Another thing that I feel like is going on is that because of some of the racial sensitivity things that are happening in our culture, per our last conversation about the racist type things, I think there is an oversensitivity happening. So let me explain how this plays out. I was in Colorado at a conference, and there was a woman there from Denver, elderly African American lady. She's in her mid-70s. And she said that she lived where she has lived her entire life. She has never felt afraid or concerned or worried at all when she would go out. And she said now she is. Nothing has changed about her neighborhood. There's been no increase in anything. Nothing has changed, but now she feels afraid when she goes out. So there's a psychological thing that's going on. So you overlay these things with one another, and then going to the football thing. I think whoever said that is correct, that you put a bunch of testosterone-filled guys together who are trying to prove a point, who themselves are trying to mimic a team, and themselves probably have an overinflated sense of self-worth already. And so something happens that sets them off and they feel like they need to defend their machismo or whatever you want to call it. And so it's a recipe for disaster. So those are my thoughts.
Well, I think in some cases, these things can actually cause more long-term harm than good. One of the things that we've seen in hockey is, you know, they did a big crackdown on fighting a couple decades ago. But I think what you've seen happen is when a big fight breaks out, it becomes more serious. You get guys that are actually seriously hurt as a result of these things, as opposed to these more minor skirmishes.
I think culturally, we're so amped up with fear of everything.
I mean, half of us are afraid of the virus, half of us are afraid of what the government's going to do to us. All of us are afraid of what the other half of the population is going to respond. It's just these things add up. Then you have sensitivity to racial issues, which some of it needs to be done. Some of it goes way overboard, in my opinion. One of the things that I was thinking about with the Jack Morris thing is I remember Beverly Hills Cop, the Eddie Murphy movie from back in the 80s. One of the funniest scenes I remember is where Eddie Murphy is mocking how basically Ivy League white people talk. It's hilarious, but would that even get made now? Probably not. I think the other one.
Well, I would say, Michelle, I think it's a good question. And I would say it this way: if the flu wiped out a majority of the starting 11 for the Husky football team the second week of the season, and they couldn't play the game, I'm sure it would be a forfeit because the Pac-12 is also one of those conferences this year that have finally decided, hey, we're not going to do the no contest thing because we didn't get anything out of that. So we've got to make this a cut and dry thing.
I like it better than the no contest or the rescheduling, all that kind of stuff. I know everybody last year was playing by the seat of their pants, trying to get stuff in.
No, they're playing by Larry Scott's pants.
Well, that's true, but the Big Ten was similar. But at the same time, last year and this year are different. We know more. It's like, okay, we know what we need to do to get a full season in. Now, some of the COVID-19 specific things, we can debate that all day, and we've been debating it every week for a year. But I think that a forfeit situation, it's like, okay, can't play, fine, forfeit, let's move on to next week, get yourself better, whatever. But if it's If it's not applied consistently, then we have a problem. You know, one of the most ridiculous things I saw last year is the NFL not doing that. Where you had teams not play for like two and a half weeks and then try to play a game on a Wednesday.
I think the Baltimore Ravens, Baltimore Pittsburgh game was just ridiculous.
So I think that creates additional health risks. Not COVID related, but injury risks for players too, when you go out there and try to play a regular season NFL game without having practiced for 10 days. So I think the forfeit situation is better. I'm not sure it answers all the questions that I have, but yeah, I can live with it.
Well, that was the point that I was going to make, Michelle, and really, unfortunately, we're in a situation where only part of the data is coming out, and it's only the part of the data that supports the prevailing narrative, which is that vaccines are good, everything else, and if you don't vaccinate, then it's bad. And I myself had COVID before Christmas. So this was nine months ago, and I just got retested. I'm positive for antibodies. And most doctors, virologists will tell you that the antibodies that you have are better than the vaccine. And right now we're seeing that the vaccine is not effective. I had a family member who was vaccinated and still got COVID, and so it is just astounding to me that they're drawing this hard line in the sand, and our Washington state governor just came down with these ruling that every teacher in the state, I know your wife is a teacher, so this is a huge can of worms, I'm beyond.
Well, Tim had a shot, he tried the best he could, and Urban Meyer had to make a football move and a football decision, and Tim Tebow is no longer with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I think his football career might be over.
Someone pointed out that now that Tim Tebow is gone, the Taliban is back.
Is that just a coincidence?
Okay. That'll be your next book, Brent.
Right.
So the real football.
Does Timber Joey have any fingers left? Does Timber Joey have any fingers left? That's what I want to know.
So for those who are outside of the region, Timber Joey is the guy with the chainsaw. And when Portland scores a goal, he cuts off a section of their big log, their big tree. So, yeah. You know,
I think Timber Joey cut himself off last weekend.
One of my favorite chants on this issue, Emerald City Sports Seattle group, one chant I feel like there's subtlety in it, but it's quite good. It's two R's, two E's, one F and referee. Okay, so it's a spelling, one F in referee. So that's what they're saying. But when they say it more quickly, it sounds two R's, two E's, one F and referee. So. I think so. It's unnecessary. It is. It was the best.
Twenty seconds into getting into the match. And if he's not the number one scorer in Major League Soccer, the most dominant scorer right now, there's talk already about MVP honors for him. Well, I'm down with that.
If you're a Sounders fan, and again, forgive us the rest of the world, but to get Nico Ladero back has been huge for the Sounders, and he has made just such a difference because in that Portland game, because Christian Robbins has pretty much been carrying the team, in my opinion, has been the single biggest reason why the Sounders had such an amazing start, 13 win without a single loss to start the season, and then Christian had his time with the national team where he contributed greatly, and I think in that Portland game he seemed a little bit off to me, but the fact that Negro is back, he is just adding all sorts of color back to the game that we've been missing. And it's going to be a great run here to the end of the season.
People from the Pac-12 must be voting for those rankings.
That's a big
yeah.
Sure.
Steve Zakuani deserves that job over her any day of the week. And Casey Keller does a great job. So
he has a position already.
Yeah. So those Steve Zakuani and Casey Keller do an excellent job. There's no need for Megan Rapinoe. None.
Yeah. I think if she could just stick to reporting on soccer. I agree with you, Michelle. She is engaging, entertaining. She's a good communicator. I think that she would be good. And we need more qualified women in that role. So.
This is a great story. Yeah, let's talk this up. The Women's World Championships start this weekend. And if all goes well, if the U.S. Women's National Team wins the 2021 World Championship and then a gold medal in the Beijing Olympics, each member of the team will get over $125,000 in compensation for all that. They'll get all kinds of bonuses. This is a one-year deal that they signed with the USA Hockey, and in combination with the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee, they get all kinds of bonuses for a world championship and a gold medal. So who says that? Yeah, negotiating good deal. Hey, U.S. women's soccer team, take a cue.
Yeah, I think one of the important things to mention, Rich, is that it's not an all or nothing thing. It's not like they don't get anything. They still get like over 100,000 silver.
Yep. $105,000 for a silver medal. I think I could go with that. No kidding.
So, these are good signs. And they were apparently done without some of the drama we've seen in maybe some other sports.
And they deserve it too, because U.S. women's hockey has won a medal in every single Olympic since the sport became an Olympic sport in 1998. Michelle?
Well, hey, Speaking of major sports, though, or major things happening in sports, I missed last week because I was on the golf course, so I apologize, but I had a good round of golf. but the question I had was, did you guys talk about the biggest sports transaction in the world that took place last week? And if you know, we didn't talk about that, there was a Honus Wagner...
I believe you're referring to a Honus Wagner baseball card, Garrett. Go with it.
I don't think that's what he's talking about.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. I thought you might have been done. Hey, I sent the story in. I got to get credit for that, man.
I got the picture right here.
Sweet.
Oh, there you go. All right.
Actually, that was an awesome thing.
But she did make it past the second round, unfortunately, and just lost to the number 76 player in the world.
But that doesn't take away from her statement there.
Definitely.
Athletes respect athletes, and that's what I've found. The U.S. men's national team at the recent Olympics went to all the women's games, and the women's team went to the men's games, vice versa. So athletes respect athletes is what I'm going to say about that.
If you can coach and coach, and I think, assuming she gets hired, within two days they'll know. It's like, oh yeah, she. I think, well, I'm looking forward to this.
Chris Tolliver will actually teach Mark Cuban something about basketball. That's what I'm looking for.
Well, I'm just so tired of whether or not a trip to the White House is acceptable based upon who the president is. To me, I think I've established that I am not a Biden fan, but if I won something and I was invited to the White House, I'd be there. The office of the president, the White House is like, yes. Now, at the same time, I think the timing for this, with what's going on with Afghanistan, and even more than with COVID. I think the timing is really bad.
That's the huge thing about this.
Because it looks like Biden is trying to divert attention away from something that is very much more important.
Well, there's already plenty of legitimate criticism that's like, what is going on? Where is he? And if you have the time to entertain the WNBA champs at the White House, why do you not have time for press conferences about really pressing world issues and tens of thousands of Americans trapped overseas and the whole ball of wax? So, if there's a Republican in the White House seven years from now, they get invited back. Don't be turning that down.
Well, we know that might happen because the Storm became one of the very first professional sports franchises to endorse a presidential candidate, and they endorsed Biden last year. So, obviously, sports unfortunately is not apolitical, and sport has become politics almost as much as politics become sport, and like I've said before, politicians like to use sport to their advantage whenever it suits them and is appropriate for them. Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkan hopped aboard the Seattle Kraken bandwagon when we were getting, trying to get an NHL franchise. And you know, it just amazes me how much politicians use public venues like sporting events and all those things as campaign tools.
Yeah, and Yeah, I completely agree, and like you expect public officials to jump on the sports bandwagon. I mean, that's just what they do, and if it's in your city, then you do expect that, but I think we beat the dead horse of keep politics out of sports, just play, just do your best at what you're hired to do. No, keep beating it. I'm saying if you're going to beat that horse, then politicians need to stop using sports for their own personal professional benefit when it suits them.
Good luck with that.
Well, you know what? I'm telling you right now. I know that you want sports to take the high road and do the right thing. Well, that's not going to happen either because we all know we live in a fallen world. Without the king, the real king, for a real kingdom that won't pass away, it isn't going to happen. We're trying to set up our own kingdom with our own rules.
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
hint.
very, very unsubtle. so the big sports transaction, it was probably the number one biggest sports story of the year. On the global stage. Probably in the U.S. it got a little bit of a blip.
It got more than a blip.
Well, okay. But the number one soccer player in the world, my favorite player, Lionel Messi, who has spent his entire career with Barcelona, as they say there. The management and leadership in Barcelona messed up. I mean, they literally lost him because they weren't paying attention. Because there are certain salary guidelines that Liga España has that you have to meet based on your income and salaries and all this stuff. And they literally just didn't have enough money in their threshold to pay him.
I hope they fired their accountant, man.
Oh my goodness. And so Lionel Messi is now playing for Paris Saint-Germain. And he's reunited with his old pal, Brazilian star, Mr. Flop-a-doodle Neymar.
Are they going to be holding flopping clinics before each home match?
Well, Messi is not a flopper. He is hardworking.
So he needs to learn.
Yeah, no. They played together actually at Barcelona, and it was quite a show when he was there, and then what's his name, Mr. Bite Marks. the three of them were all there at the same time. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, South American biter. Anyway, but that's just a huge story, though, because I mean, it'd be like someone with the Chicago Bulls when Michael Jordan was there, just making a mistake, you know, and yeah.
I will give you a proper analogy, guys. Let me go back in the sports encyclopedia. If you remember when Wayne Gretzky was traded to the Los Angeles Kings, that shook up the hockey world. And if we remember that day in 1988, Wayne Gretzky, much like Messi, crying tears. But realizing that Peter Pocklington, then the owner of the Edmonton Oilers, didn't have the financial wherewithal to keep him as part of the Oilers dynasty and part of that Oilers franchise. Final shot. Final shot goes out to Carly Lloyd for an outstanding international career with the U.S. Women's National Team. We talked about it a little bit this week. But she may be the second best women's player of all time for the U.S. next to Mia Hamm. That's my opinion. I'm sticking with it.
So I'm going back to Seattle Soccer, and one of the more underrated players, but he's really shown who he can do and who he is, is Roro Rivas, who, as you said, and MLS Player of the Week two weeks in a row, he's really coming on, really shining, he's starting to get recognized for the top class finishers that he is.
I'll take that one to mention. I think
I know, right?
Who said that?
Was it Alexi Lawless? Oh, okay. All right.
My shout out goes to Michelle Adams. This is the mother of Jamal Adams.
Oh, here.
The Seahawks traded two first-round picks, a third-round pick, and a player last year to the Jets to get. And he's been involved with contract negotiations with the Seahawks, extended his deal, has been showing up at practice but not practicing while this negotiation dragged on. Finally, last week, his mother called him up, called him by his full name, putting his middle name, and said, accept the deal. And he did. So thank you, Michelle, for getting it done.
I think I could accept $72 million. Good for him. No, that shows a lot of maturity. And who knows, depending on where the Kraken finish this year, hopefully they're going to make playoffs as a first-year team. But we might miss Mr. Power. I'm all for it. We can get another run at him.
Yep.
Thank you, Michelle.
Great show.
For more fun, go to mymichellelive.com.
That's a wrap.
All right. Please like us.
Hey, nice job pulling up the U.S.